Noah and Matt, welcome to Good Morning Ecosystem.
Does Kara say something?
That's
we need to start this again?
Thank you both for being here. Just by way of quick context, this is the first episode that we're doing that features two guests in one conversation. So we're pretty excited for what we're doing today. I bet partners watching at home are wondering why we decided to pair you together. It's a pretty incredible pairing, frankly. And what we expect from the show. I've had a chance to connect with both of you. As you know, we've known each other for years at this point, and it's been just a pleasure watching both OBO and Superd grow. Karen and I, in our brainstorm, talked a lot about topics and guests and who do people want to hear from. And we're pretty excited to have you both on the show, but full credit to Karen for really sort of having the idea and advocating for today's episode. Karen, want to share a little bit about why today's episode was so important to you?
Yeah. One of the things that both of you have heard me talk about, have been in this ecosystem for a while, is one thing we're trying to do is we're trying to open up the platform. We're trying to connect app partners and solution partners. And no one has the perfect playbook. But you know, Matt, we've known each other for a while. I think you're doing things in disruptive and innovating and interesting ways. And I think that's great for the overall ecosystem. Noah, you and I ran into each other again 2 weeks ago at the Census partner event, where I was with Census, learning a bunch of their technology, love spending time with Boris. And I sat across from Noah, who is an elite solution partner at OPO. And you have a business that has HubSpot, Monday.com, Salesforce. But one of the things that I found so interesting was learning from you was, wow, you're at this Census event to help serve your customers better, because there's this overlap of people who need ETLs, data, and you know, CRMs and marketing automation. So that was the idea, that let's take two partners, an app partner and a solution partner that works with app partners. And I would just love to learn from both of you. Okay, well, I'll kick us off. Matt, give me a little bit about tell us a little about yourself and your path to Superd.
I think this is important. Is I actually did not start in the HubSpot ecosystem. I started in the Microsoft Dynamics and ecosystem and then Salesforce ecosystem. And when I was getting out and like want to start a business, I didn't think HubSpot was real. But then I had client. I was doing Salesforce, and I was actively getting people in Salesforce. And I ran into a wild HubSpot instance, and was like, "Oh my gosh, this thing is so much easier to adopt. I would answer so many less questions would come my way if I could do this." So that's like that's when we started in 2020. And I was really trying to figure, okay, I want to start an app company, but I was going to do this service for a bit to understand what do people actually need, because I just didn't know. So we created a HubSpot solution. We went all in HubSpot saying, hey, this is the future. This was in 2020, 2021. We said there's a huge arbitrage opportunity here. And I think that Salesforce service companies are going to start coming into HubSpot. So we started here. We're going to make a big net. We're going to go and we're going to go after mid-market to enterprise customers first. It was always the idea. I always wanted to do a app partner. So we had to do, we can do a hard cut. So this is not something we like hard cut. We like looked at what's happening. We got a total different investment from from Sales Loft. But the idea is what we struggled with the most and what as I was talking in the ecosystem service providers, we struggle with the most is getting utilization or adoption. Mm-hmm. How do I drive last mile, especially with this AI, how do I drive last mile adoption and human touches? And I was like, what if we took everything we've learned on how to do that here? And you could systematize that at scale and be able to give that to all service providers. Because that's what Superd is. How we ended up getting there.
That's awesome. I love the path from solution partner, hard cut, now app partner, Superd. Noah, you're the co-founder of OBO. You know, you're an elite solution partner. Tell me a little bit about your path to OBO and how you think about the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, thanks for having me. It's awesome to see you both again. And as you said, co-founded Obio with my business partner. And I'll tell the truth, I just want to be business partners with my business partner. So when we got started, I know it's not necessarily the story you hear, but that's truly what motivated me. And when we got started, we wanted to do sales and marketing alignment. And you kind of see where this story is going now. We got started in 2016 with sales and marketing alignment. And at the time, I can't necessarily say what that was. Because it's still kind of early in the whole system, what's going to be happening. And really, as we kind of evolved the company, obviously this thing called HubSpot was gaining traction. And that was back in 2017, 2018. Obviously, HubSpot had been around for a while, but we started to see where it's headed, where it's going really early in the ecosystem. And we said, this really aligns with our mission of sales and marketing alignment, especially when HubSpot began to roll out the CRM capabilities of the tool. We said, wow, this is going to be awesome. So we really kind of took the plunge pretty early on in HubSpot to say, we're going to be a HubSpot partner. And we see, hey, this CRM is going to eventually start taking off. So it aligned really well with our mission for what we wanted to do. And thus we said, hey, let's continue to kind of lead into it. And our goal is really to be a leader in the HubSpot ecosystem, both from the standpoint of strategy and technology. But we also realize, and we have this philosophy really around HubSpot Plus, where our clients need more around HubSpot, and hence part of this conversation today, and really aiming to help our clients with all aspects of HubSpot, whether it's the process, solutions, the services, the apps, everything connected to it. And it's not just about delivering outstanding service, but also a better client experience. As we're doing it. So, technology obviously is important. The experience is even that much more important, and to bring value to every interaction we have. So really excited to be here today to talk about what we're talking about, especially with Matt on the call, because it's really about finding these app partners who can add a lot of value to our clients.
That's a great segue, Noah, because one of the things I wanted to ask you, which you mentioned, was your HubSpot Plus sort of view, your customer first kind of approach to your business and working backwards from what the customers need to, identify how to add value and help them grow better. One of those things being working with app partners. As a solutions partner, how do you determine which app partners to establish relationships with?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, in reality, we can't be partners with everyone. It's simply too much. There's too many different app partners out there. So part of it comes down to our ICP. And really, what does that client need? And hence, obviously, Karen, we saw each other at the Census event. A lot of our clients have data warehouses and need reverse ETL. And Census is a great solution for those clients. And we notice our clients needing solutions such as that. And so generally, when we're looking for app partners, we're saying, what do our clients need? Also, what level of investment do we need to be able to make into those app partners to be able to be successful for those clients? So part of it is, in addition to what our clients need, is this going to help us deliver better service? Is this going to help us deliver a better experience? And this is going to go a little bit more into the conversation with Matt around Super that really enables partners like ourselves to deliver better experiences for our clients. And it's not just a one-way interaction. I'm not just trying to bring business to the app partners. It really has to be a two-way street where they're bringing business to us, we're bringing business to them. We see them as a app partner that is at the top tier of their space. So in other words, they're going to be able to provide a lot of value to our clients, and they're best of breed. So when we're looking for them, there's a lot of different variables, but ultimately it comes back to our ideal customer profile and what they need. And those are the apps that we generally partner with.
Gotcha. And just to double click there together, I'm sure a lot of folks who are listening at home are thinking about how do I replicate this? This is obviously a top partner and best practice. How do you develop that insight on your ICP? If you can sort of step us through the apps that ICP would need.
Yeah. And I think that's the trickiest thing for every company out there. I mean, I'm sure every partner on the call today and listening to this is probably saying, wow, every client, first thing we ask them, who's their ICP and how do we help them market to them? And the same thing applies to us. So when we look at our clients, we have the benefit of understanding and mapping their technology landscape when we first get engaged. So that's actually where a lot of our information starts coming from, is actually understanding what these clients are bringing to the table now, what technologies are they currently using, and is there a commonality among the different technologies that we may say, hey, listen, we need to get deeper into those technologies to be able to provide our upmarket clients with the level of support they need, because it's all interconnected in the end. Yeah. So one place to start is really by taking a look at what are your clients using now? And then two, are those best of breed software? Are those best of breed applications that you're going to want to incorporate into your mix? And you got to be mindful and conscientious. You can't do them all. It's going to be impossible. And otherwise, you're just not going to become knowledgeable in each and every one of them. So it's really picking which ones you think, for the amount of effort, you're going to be able to have the biggest impact upon your client. So identifying who your ICP is. If you're targeting a company, let's say your ICP is 50 employees and in the financial services sector, you probably want to start looking at, well, what are the additional applications that these companies tend to use that you should start mastering to be able to provide more value to them? And it's really important that you narrow that down. Otherwise, you're going to be spending a lot of time spinning your wheels, working with partners that may or may not really be relevant to your clients.
Yep.
And thus, you're also kind of wasting your own team's time.
Yep. Makes sense.
I love that. It's interesting. We have a perspective kind of internally the same, where it's like within the categories, what are the key integrations that we need to make sure work? So like solution partners like yourself as well can help guide customers and clients like through those workflows.
Yeah, and I think HubSpot's done a really good job building solutions that connect to different applications. And especially when you're looking at like upmarket, like what does an upmarket client need? A lot of them may have a data warehouse. Maybe they have an ERP like a NetSuite. Are you building skills around those tools? I think too often we just simply default to, is it a built-in connector? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the larger clients have more complex needs than that. So you have to say, am I going to invest the time and energy to essentially build the expertise that we can do the more, I'll call it sophisticated, complex use cases and solving for those. And I think HubSpot has just made fantastic ground on connecting with all these tools, but there's generally so much more to get done than just what's out of the box. And it's really important that partners look at that and say, where are there additional opportunities here?
Yeah. And then Matt, sort of taking all of that as an app partner, your vision, your mission is to help, part of it anyway, is to help solutions partners scale. Can you talk through that a little bit, sort of your vision on how you envision helping?
Yes. Gosh, we have this big, bold statement that we say is, and so when we talk about how do we help solutions partner scale, one of the things, and the only way you can do that is, we talk about ICPs, do you know what prevents solutions partners from scaling? And I think there is this like understanding that that ICP extremely well. And only way you can understand, you heard Noah talk about this a bit, like he has an ICP. When you have an ICP, you can start niching. Niching doesn't necessarily mean industry. It may be, I'm really good at understanding NetSuite. If you had NetSuite, they have their API, they have like five different API. My point is, you have to understand the niche, thus the problems, and you become known for that thing. So when you ask me, I have this statement we like to say is we went really hard in one niche, an ecosystem only play, which is we want to create the next generation of elite partners. And so what I mean by that is next generation is what we predict is happening is people will demand higher human experiences, especially as AI comes. Like, there's going to be table stakes on push button deployments of executing things, but what people will want even more is human touches, human like experiences, and you need to scale the experience that you give. Because what is fundamental to a partner is they sell people, they sell services, and they sell experiences. So we spend a lot of time helping partners create experiences. So that's what we like. When you think about that, how we do that is, and we did this thing, it's called, we help revenue teams deploy revenue processes and revenue systems. And so there's one thing that's fundamental. You heard Noah say it. Not one person only uses HubSpot. They have their process that they deploy on top of other people's systems. So what we fundamentally do is help partners help their clients deploy their processes.
What was like the first set of blockers that you think slowed down partners?
So I have this podcast where I talk to partners. No, when you get you on it. I have this Fast and Tedious. And one of the things we talk about is this. And I hear the same thing every single time. And I've been a solutions partner. So like this is what blocks hiring, having a methodology you can reproduce, whether that's going to be onboardings or technical consulting, like you're scaling an experience at scale. Mm. Then it is, well, who are you going to market with? And that is picking app partners. And it's going to be go to market with NetSuite, go to market with Aircall, go to market with some pick app partners. And then you have to have, after that, you have to have like a very specific way of reproducing people.
Hmm. Reproducing people, like hiring and scaling?
Hiring, but then training. Hmm. And then, because the issue with you have to do what? Create reoccurring value over and over again. And reoccurring value is produced by people and experiences. So you have to, like, what are you serving as a solutions partner? Is you are serving people that are giving experiences. And that is the hardest thing to do.
I would add completely to that, Matt. I mean, I think it goes in the fact that ultimately, in the end, I don't think there's anyone out there who will raise your hand and say, oh, I just love doing migrations to new systems. Like, But that is what we want our clients to say. Like, we want our clients to say, I love OBO. I love this whole experience, because just having expertise gets you in the door.
Yeah.
That's table stakes. That gets you to be able to have a conversation, but that isn't what separates you ultimately in the end. What separates you ultimately in the end is the experience. Did you take away the anxiety from that customer throughout the entire migration experience or the deployment? Were you able to kind of walk them through everything, get their team set up? Did they feel like the entire time they knew what was going on? That comes down to communication, that comes down to transparency, and that comes down to accountability. And to Matt's point, that's really hard. You generally find people who are, let's say, really technical. They love to be behind the scenes. And then you find other people who maybe are less technical, like to be client facing. What you really need to be able to find is a combination of both. And that takes a lot of time to develop that type of talent. And we are very, very focused on how do we develop our talent. And if they're coming from the technical end and they have the aptitude, we'll teach them on how to communicate and what our expectations are. But I think Matt nailed it. I like to think of, we want our clients to say, I love you. We want those 5-star reviews. We want clients to just say, this was the best experience they ever had. I can't wait until I get to do my next one, which of course we don't want them to, but we want to set the bar for this is what they should expect from all of these potential experiences they have.
No, I think we could talk a lot about this. I like our comment. What I like to tell is, like, how do you make people love you more than their mothers? Like this idea of, like, it's like, I would never pick anyone else after working with you, because it doesn't even matter what you do. I'm going to ask you if you do that first. And by the way, even if you don't specialize in that, I want you anyway. This is what I think solutions partners need to get, is you sell experiences, and people don't always remember if the data worked. They just remember that it worked eventually and how you made them feel through the process. You do all the right things, but do a poor job of communicating, and you still don't create how often are you creating recurring value? Is the question every solution partner should be asking.
I 100% agree.
Experiences for that. And y'all make the complex easier and communicate that through the whole process, so you feel like it was easy, understood, transparent, and that's great.
And I think oftentimes, this is not, you're going to get there overnight. Even our organization, you're constantly evolving, you're constantly changing, you're constantly saying, is our process aligned with that client experience? Do we have friction in that client experience? If so, how do we remove that all the way from the sales to client delivery to ongoing support? Ultimately, for a solution partner to grow, you need repeat clients. Mm. And you need them to call you first. If they're traveling to a new company, that's a great place to get new clients. When they leave from one company and go to the next, you want them to remember you. So it truly is about that client experience and enabling your team to deliver better client experiences and training them, teaching them, and also giving them the ability to do it, and giving them the freedom to kind of lean into those experiences for your customers. in some sense, no different than going to a restaurant. You know, maybe you're like, hey, this food is great. You know, I really like the food, but the restaurant doesn't want to hear that. Yeah, you can pour the water, you serve the steak, it was medium rare, you gave them the French fries. But it's how you made that customer feel, and that's hospitality ultimately in the end. And that's what, as a solution partner, you should be aiming for at any given time.
I love that. I love that. Get that flywheel cranking. You mentioned new customers. You also both mentioned kind of working with other members of the HubSpot ecosystem, other app partners and so forth. Can we talk for a second about kind of business development, how you sort of leverage the ecosystem to identify new opportunities, and whoever wants to jump in first?
Yeah, maybe I can just from a solution partner perspective. And so I think it goes back to what I said earlier, like, does it meet the ICP of our client in terms of that app partner? And then we'll go ahead and actively reach out to those partners and say, hey, listen, I think there's a really good match here. We have clients that I know should be leveraging your tool, should be leveraging your application, and let's talk about it. What we try and avoid is situations where there's heavy investments on our end. Now, keep in mind, every time you work with an app partner, and the app partners have to realize this as well, there's an investment on the solution partner time, 10, 20, 50 hours plus. And it is significant because that's non-billable time for your team members, let alone your sales team that's building a relationship, let alone your marketing team that's building a relationship. And so when you're really going out there, you want to make sure, hey, this is something that's going to value our clients. This is something that if I make a recommendation to this app partner, they're going to treat the client well. The software is going to work the way that you're expecting it to. And vice versa, like I mentioned earlier, it really should be a two-way street. It shouldn't necessarily just be us delivering all the business to them. It should also be them bringing us business as well, because we are making an investment into their own ecosystem. So, you know, that's just my perspective, but I know, Matt, you probably have one there too.
The question is, how do we do business development and how do you work with partners, especially with the ecosystem for a, so there's just, part of this is there is a very specific brand of go-to-market that I really enjoy. So just like, we should be clear about that. So there's something I call surround bound, which is, I believe, just modern in terms of it, like, it is not marketing's job to create content. It's everybody that touches the customer, because people want more personal, authentic relationship. So we talk about BD. If I have if I have somebody that loves working with another partner, they should write a post about that and talk about it. If you have another relationship and you like others, we should champion the voices of the people in the ecosystem. And in doing that, like, there's this entire network effect. So there's like a surround band. I can talk about surround band all day. Inside the HubSpot ecosystem, as an app partner, we have a very specific play. And that play is, we only sell to partners, and then we sell through partners. So when you look at like our end users, our attach rate, about 90% of any end user deal we sell, it is from a partner. And that's the only thing we think about. And our mission is not to enable revenue teams. Our mission is to create the next generation of HubSpot elite partners. So even our features that we build, even how we communicate what we build, what we're doing, it's all built around serving partners. And then you just say that all the time, everywhere, and dance about it. And then people will see it. So talk about BD. That then can be used in sales engagements. It can be used for customer retention. It can be incorporated throughout the entire CX, like the partner experience. One other point on BD inside of this is, I'm a big believer in nearbound. So we believe in going to market with other app partners. So not just solutions partners, but app partners, because who do we have? The same ICP, which is solutions partners. To give an example of that is G2, right? So we made an entire video called Go in G2 to the thing of like a G6 and did a whole dance party. We now work with them, like, there's a shared bundle. If you have Super and you have G2, you can get discounts on either. We help people institute intent buying and help use their insights. So there's these like nearbound plays that are more like marriages, and you can only do a few of them. Just like as a solutions partner, you can only do a few app partners. You can go really deep, and I recommend other app partners go really deep with a few other app partners that share their same ICP.
Matt, you're brilliant on LinkedIn. Sorry, Karen. I was just going to say, Matt and their team are out there. They've built that into their culture. I think I go on LinkedIn, Matt, you're like the first person I tend to see.
I'm sorry.
Anytime.
I agree. We should do a LinkedIn question, right? And it's like, for it's sure. True. I think, Matt, you're really prolific on LinkedIn. Even for our first episode, I think posting the notes, people get the extraction value right away. But, you know, Matt, with that LinkedIn, you know, we all see it. You're probably one of the most prolific and consistent creator strategies. How did you get there? And how does your creator strategy play into how you think about that surround bound, near bound? And where have you seen wins?
So the surround bound strategy, the end state is this. If someone thinks about a problem and you are an ICP, it's impossible to not see us. And I would actually want you to just not want to see me anymore. So let's give an example. Say you're a customer and you're a HubSpot solutions partner and you want to deliver adoption or you want to deliver a better customer experience. It's impossible not to see content. No, that's a good example. That's like, that is surround bound by definition. You will see the team because that's what we talk about. That's what we hear about. So how do you do that consistently? I think it was like I did LinkedIn. Posting on LinkedIn is nothing different because it's just moving from the dark funnel. It's nothing different than posting a blog article. It's just in the moment, we all have some problem occurs. So today for me, I'm trying to buy a loan and it's very difficult. I now have content, like just example, I have content where I could say, why is buying a loan so difficult today? And I have a LinkedIn post, whether it's own topic or not. I might have somebody that's an ICP because what agency owners or what they own a business. So they have that same difficulty that will resonate with them and I can now apply it to them. And they will feel there will be a affinity. So you just take something that happens every day. There's always content. Always content. We are content machines. Every single person, just like everybody sells, everybody's a content creator. So it's just changing that. It's flipping that. So all I do is just I just create a piece of content every day, pre-schedule it. And so sometimes I'll have 2 weeks in advance. And that's it. I mean, it's, you wake
pre-schedule
up. Pre-schedule
right. Content. Genius. I'm definitely going to take that. No, Matt and I were talking about that, how you make these decisions in your life and you're like, oh, wow, that was so much harder to get a loan than I thought. You know, myself going on a startup, that made it so much harder than I thought. Yeah.
Every time you get angry or every time you feel passionate, write that down. It's like what Eminem did. He would write on his napkins every time he's inspired. Just write it down, schedule it, and you're done.
Love it. Noah, I'm going to turn to you. So you do a whole bunch of different types of implementations in OBO. And one thing I was learning at the dinner was just you structure the company in a way. So tell us a little bit of how you structure the company and the teams within OBO around the sure. different platform implementations. And then, you know, for others that do that, how would they think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for our growth as an organization, I kind of think it almost happened a little bit organically how we built the teams. People have a certain affinity towards certain products. So for example, some of our team members have affinity towards money.com and really knowing it, really liking it. They like the whole project management space. They like building out business process. It's a different type of tool. And in that particular regard, they also know HubSpot very well. And the reason why is because let's say a team needs project management plus CRM. And they're going to need to be able to have those integrations together. So really, it's kind of happened organically inside the company, people picking what software they want to be able to specialize and what software they want to be able to deliver for our clients. And then we build these kind of squads who have more unique specialties. So as clients come in, we can pair them with the right team who's going to be able to deliver on those particular services. So let's say as an example of a company, maybe they're moving from Marketo to Marketing Hub and they have Salesforce and there needs to be an integration. But that client's really looking for someone who understands both Salesforce and HubSpot. Well, we're going to team them up with those individuals who specialize in both those applications. And in our particular world, really where our Salesforce specialty comes in with Sales Cloud, because that's the most common one to integrate for our clients, you know, Marketing Hub back to Sales Cloud. And we have certain team members who are certified in that, who are able to take on that particular type of work for our clients. But again, they really have to have HubSpot first for for us to be able to take on that Salesforce work is really, again, going back to our vision of HubSpot Plus, is really HubSpot's the cornerstone of what we do in terms of being able to enable our clients to be able to do these other applications. So it's really kind of grown over time. And as new partners come along, we actually kind of ask them like, hey, who wants to learn this? Who wants to become the internal expert on this? And there's free time the team can spend, because I think one thing that we've been doing very well over the years is retaining our talent, because we try and enable our talent to learn new things, to do different things, to not get stagnant. We always give them time to play around with new products, new services. And HubSpot makes it great because you guys are coming out with 40 to 100 new updates a month. So there's plenty to constantly learn. And we have this Ask an Expert channel, and like people are always going on it, sharing stuff, asking questions, figuring out who's an expert in a particular area. Like we have some people really strong in NetSuite. If there's a NetSuite product project, they jump right into that, and start working with those individuals who are working on that team. So over time, like I say, it's more organic. You start finding out what people enjoy working on and you let them work on that. And that's also going to help you retain your talent as well.
That's so cool. I mean, at HubSpot, we talk about a lot, like we want learn it all, not know it all. And so there's just this hunger and like, how do we help foster that even internally? That we're always like learning.
You got to be curious.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big thing that we look for in terms of our company. I also think, as long as you can provide a vision for your team and letting them know what's that framework they can work within, they can do their own learning. So they understand like this is our playing field. This is what our clients need. Where do you see the gaps in our own knowledge? And let's go out and learn that information to be able to provide more value. Because as a consultant, our job is to know more than our clients. Our job is to go to them and say, hey, here's a better way of doing something, or here's my suggestion for improving this. And the only way of doing it is actually spending time to consistently evolve. Like, I don't think any of us would go visit a doctor who hasn't spent a day learning since they came out of med school. And I would expect nonetheless from a solution partner to continue learning. You don't want to go to a company that's like, well, last time I actually learned anything in HubSpot was 2016. Well, sir, they didn't have a CRM then. So you have to keep evolving. You have to keep learning. I think it's just part of our job,
what you need to do.
That is amazing. Matt and Noah, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your insights with Karen and me and our audience. This is, we really enjoyed the conversation.
Oh, well, thank you for having us. This was great. Loved being on. I love being with Matt over here and Karen and yourself, Brian. So thank you again for having us.
Yeah, thank you. I would be remit to not say stay awesome, keep doing it big, and stay super. That's what I'm
there it is. There it is.
Do I say anything about OBO too at this point? Like, I mean, that was better than what I got at this point. Yeah, I need a better tagline, I think, at this point. Everybody, we got HubSpot Plus, Unifying Vision. Yeah, like exactly. That. So,
listeners, if you love today's episode, you're in luck. We'll be back next Tuesday with more Good Morning Ecosystem anywhere you get your podcasts. Until then, grow better.